You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It was announced over the weekend that a new government investment of $400 million will go into schools for property upgrades and maintenance. And this was in effect as of tomorrow. The announcement was made by the Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern during the closing moments of her speech at the Labour Party's annual conference in Whanganui on Sunday. 2,050 schools will be eligible to receive this minimum of $50,000 with a maximum cap of $400,000. This depends on their roll size. That's $693 per student. The one-off cash injection is the biggest investment in school maintenance in at least 25 years. And joining me to talk further about this investment is Education Minister Chris Hipkins. He spoke to me this morning about the government's school infrastructure plan in full.
Well, we know we've got quite a few schools around the country that need upgrades. You know, their classrooms aren't in good shape. Some cases it's things like, you know, the roof needs to be replaced, or they've got painting or carpeting that needs to be done, or there are problems with their pipes or their heating. So we want schools to get on and get that work done. So by bringing forward the spending, by giving them an extra boost to their maintenance funding, we know that we can get that work done sooner, and that's good news for all of those small businesses out in the regions who will be doing the work. It means for the plumbers, the builders, the electricians, the carpeters, the painters, then they're going to be getting more work.
Now, how does this fit into the future-proofing scheme for accessing education overall?
Well, we want to make sure that every school in the country is in good shape. We want to make sure that they've all got good modern learning facilities, and that all kids are learning in a warm and dry and healthy environment. So this certainly is going to be a big contributor to that.
Now, a lot of low decile schools, well, schools in general actually, one of their major problems seems to be this abundance of students within the classroom size. It's disproportionate for the teacher to handle. This is especially prevalent in early childhood education. So now, will this be improved through the further funding?
The main purpose of this funding is to upgrade the quality of the school facilities. Issues around the number of teachers that we have, teacher pay, teacher aid pay and so on, those are separate issues. And of course, the government's doing a lot of work in that area. But this really is about making sure that the school buildings and playgrounds are in good shape.
Now, this is supposedly the biggest investment in 25 years. So why has it taken this long for change?
Look, schools have been getting maintenance funding, year in, year out, but we know that there's, that just hasn't been enough, and that over time schools have been, run down. Some schools have been getting worse and worse year on year, and this means that we can play catch up. We can make sure that schools are in much better shape, it doesn't cut across the fact that we're already spending quite a bit of money on rebuilding schools that are really badly run down. We're going to keep doing that. But for a lot of schools, they just need that little extra lift to really get them ahead of the game and make sure that they've got really good facilities.
So how will this investment play out? How are schools going to be held accountable?
Well, schools will be able to access the funding from now. They can work with the Ministry of Education to do that. Most schools have got already agreed 10-year property plans. So this means that they can look at those 10-year plans and they can bring forward spending that they might not have been able to do for another 5 or 6 years. They can get it done now.
That's very interesting. Shifting focus now to some schools in Christchurch. Obviously, their infrastructure has been disparaged for quite some years now. So what are the implications of this, and what support is going to be given to earthquake-proof schools?
Well, we're well through the Christchurch school rebuild. So a lot of Christchurch schools have had a lot of money spent on them in recent years. But even those schools where they have had rebuilds, you'll find that there's one or two things that they didn't quite have the budget to do that they would have liked to have got done. Mm-hmm. So in some cases, it might be that, they've had their classrooms rebuilt, but they haven't been able to do their outdoor spaces. So they'll be able to get on and do those now.
So will there be targets? What are you hoping to achieve by this time next year?
Well, the targets are to spend the money, to make sure that schools are spending it well, and to get schools in better shape. And we know that schools will be able to spend this money because we know that they've got 10-year property plans, and we know that, as soon as they can have access to the money, they'll be ready to get on with it.
And now, so who is going to build this? There's already quite a problem in New Zealand with, you know, the able bodies who can, you know, come and build this infrastructure. So do you predict or do you foresee, you know, enough hands on deck for this one?
Look, I think it's going to be really good for the trades. It's also going to give some certainty to trades people and trades businesses to take on more staff because they know they've got this work coming down the pipeline. So, you know, we see this as a really good opportunity, a good time for trades businesses to be taking on more apprentices and increasing the number of skilled workers that we have.
Shifting focus now onto the increase also in the living wage for non-teaching staff. So how does this play into negotiations with the NZEI? Why has it taken so long for support staff to achieve pay equity?
Well, we've been dealing with two things with school support staff. One is their collective agreement negotiations, and the other is the pay equity claim. The pay equity claim, the issue that we're working our way through there is what's covered by the pay equity claim and what's not, so the scope of the pay equity claim. In the meantime, we wanted to ensure that school support staff went into the Christmas break knowing that they were valued, knowing that we were committed to taking action to improve their lot. And I think by extending a living wage to them before Christmas, I think that's a pretty clear sign that the government really values the work that they do. We know that we've got a pay equity claim that, you know, they want to see progressed faster, and we're working as quickly as we can with the union to do that.
That was Chris Hipkins on the investment for property upgrades, as well as the announcement on the increase for the living wage for all non-teaching staff and teacher aid. This was acknowledged by the Ministry of Education as an offer to settle the school support staff collective, and which will see teacher aids and other support staff pay at least the living wage. Deb will go into this further, I believe. To talk further about the initiative, though, and the investment, I spoke with Linda Stewart, President of the New Zealand Educational Institution, an organisation who employs as well as represents the union for all teachers, and they leave and advocate for quality public education. Here she is with NZEI's response.
So NZEI Te Reo really welcomes the government's announcement around the support for property within schools. This is something that I think principals and boards of trustees up and down the country will be really pleased to hear. It's a significant amount of money, and it does really acknowledge the fact that our schools across the country, many of them have a great deal of work to be done to upgrade them. And these are children's learning environments, so really good to see this happening.
So how can the quality of education be improved through this funding boost?
Well, I think you know, you've still got schools in this country who have damp areas. We've even had mould, reports of mould in some classrooms. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to ensure that the environments that children are learning in are actually nice, clean, dry, warm environments. And I think what the government have done is they've recognised the fact that in some places this just is not the reality. In fact, in many places this is not the reality. So this desperately needs to happen.
Now, this is the first announcement in almost 25 years for any change to occur for school upgrades. So has the NZEI been pushing for this for quite some time?
I think there's a lot of funding that is needed into education. There are a lot of needs.
Yes.
So property is one area. The other area is obviously ensuring that the people who work closest to children are paid at a level where it's shown that they're valued and also are receiving professional development, career pathways and job security. So there's a number of different areas that the government needs to spend money on within education. We advocate for all of those areas because we want to see the best education system in the world. That's what we really want to see for our children, and we want to be supportive of those who work closest to our children.
You touched on something really interesting there, Linda, about the amount of the living wage. Now, this has also been announced. It was an offer from Jacinda to settle for School Support Staff Collective. Now, this is the teacher aid, of course, and other supportive members of staff. They will be paid to at least the living wage. So that's, you know, the lines of caretakers, cleaners, groundkeepers. Has this been a priority for some time? What are your thoughts on the living wage for all non-teaching staff?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is really important. It's important that we pay our people well. The living wage for many of our people, 90% of our teacher aides were actually earning below the living wage. So that's a considerable boost for them. But it's not the only thing that we're really needing to see for them. We are in the midst of working through a pay equity claim for them, because we know that the skills and talents that these people have and the work that they do, the depth of the work that they do, actually, even with the living wage, will not be remunerated appropriately. So we've got the collective agreements that our support staff will be voting on over this week. That's one area of work that's happening, depending on whether they vote for the agreement or they vote against the agreement. We are still pursuing the pay equity claim. We want to get into negotiations around that as quickly as we possibly can, because that actually will have the big impact on remuneration, but also we want to see job security for these people, and we also want to see career pathways for these people.
Yes, all very good stuff. Shifting back now to the classroom, one of the main issues with schools in Aotearoa is classroom size. Often the volume of students is disproportionate with the teacher. So how will these upgrades help to aid in this?
Well, there's a formula that is used for building new classrooms, and that's so the size of classrooms is actually determined by that formula. But what schools can use the money for is upgrading outdoor facilities as well. So upgrading playgrounds or upgrading court areas, asphalt areas, so that there can be also those outdoor areas that are used for children, because that's really important for them too. It's not just inside the classroom, it's outside the classroom as well. Schools will know across the country, they will know what they need to prioritise this money for. And, you know, I think that it will look different from one school to another, depending on what their needs are.
Just jumping back also to the roles of teacher aid in schools, this is for children with complex learning needs. Will there be adequate support given to ensuring, you know, classrooms are a safer environments for those with difficult learning needs or those with, you know, that need support? How will these classrooms be more adequate for those students?
Well, I think what principals and boards of trustees across the country do is they are constantly faced with that question all the time. So they will be making the decisions around what is the best use of this funding to ensure that it meets the needs of all of the children in the school, and that includes those children who have complex learning needs. There's also a role for the Ministry of Education in here if you're talking about specific designs of classrooms that are needed for children or gated areas or ramps and things like that. I mean, that comes under a different, I guess, bucket of money that supports yeah. children who have those complex needs. This money that is being given is a far more broader has a far more broader expectation around it.
So clearly infrastructure is one of the bigger issues, you know, holding back schools in New Zealand. What else would NZEI like to see improved in the next few years?
Well, we're really, you know, what I am concerned about is that in this conversation we're really talking about schools. I know that many of our early childhood centres, kindergartens, have very similar issues around property, and they don't have the money to spend on their property, so obviously that's an issue for them. But we also come back to that whole issue around undervaluing our people who work closest to children with pay, remuneration, security of work and career pathways. So I think for us, a big priority for us is to ensure that our educators across the country, people who support those educators across the country, are well compensated for the work that they do and that their skills and value is absolutely recognised. And we raise the status of those people who work closest to children.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.